Let's commence our evening service time together in prayer, shall we pray. Dear God, almighty heavenly Father, we give you the praise and the glory for the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is wonderful, his name is higher than any other, for he is Lord. Gracious God, we bless you and thank you that you had us in mind before eternity and before the time started. That at this time and at this time today, we would be gathered together to sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful he is. Be with us this evening, Lord, as we look at your word and run through it. May it speak to us. May we learn from it. May we take from it and use it and be used of it. So, Father, we pray for your presence with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
The title of this evening's talk is Used by the Lord Again. And it's the story, of course, hopefully you've noticed, of Peter, John going up to prayer and the healing of the lame man. To say that Simon Peter was used again, I find a little harsh, because prior to the reading, and if we look at it together, we can look at the reading, would normally start at chapter 3, but in actual fact I'm going to start chapter 2, verse 41, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, to the end of the chapter. And those who gladly received his word was baptized. Now that's the word of Peter on the day of Pentecost, when they were all converted. And those that received the word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And that sounds a lot, but in actual fact, when you think of the population of Jerusalem at the time, it probably wasn't quite as big as it sounds. And it's like saying there's 40 of us, and we had a revival, and people came in, and we would double up our congregation, that would be 50%, so there would be 40, 50 people joining us. We would, in comparison to the people outside the church, that wouldn't be a great number. It's a lot to us if we doubled up. We'd all have, some of us would have to stand, or have two services. But yeah, it sounds a lot and it's encouraging. Those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day there was about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued, now this is the 3,000 souls, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowshipped in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now these people have just been converted, they've been convicted of sin, they've turned, repented, joined the apostles. And don't forget, there was, 500 of those people that saw Jesus before he ascended? So that's 3,000 plus the 500. It's a good gathering, but they're all following, and we don't know where they are, but they're somewhere near, because they're all gathering together and staying together, fellowshipping together, breaking bread together, and praying together. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. That verse I sometimes feel we forget about, because it's saying that there was wonders and signs, there was miracles done amongst the group, and fear had fallen upon them because of the Lord. They were not fearful and scared, but fearful in awe and wonder of what God was doing for them in their midst. They're newly converted people. They have a thirst for the truth. They've been convicted of their sin of putting the Saviour God to death at Calvary. And they're now bubbling up with enthusiasm. We want to learn more. So they stick to the apostles' teaching. Listen, they want fellowship together. We want to talk to each other. So they break bread together, eat together. And they fellowship also in prayer. And the fear of God, the fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, that doesn't exclude Peter. Being an apostle, he would be there in amongst them doing signs and wonders as the Lord leads. verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The fear of God, the excitement of the Spirit was all around them. Things were happening, and they were happening within their 3,000 odd community. And they were listening, they were thirsty for the truth, thirsty to know what Jesus was really like while he was on earth. Because Peter and John and the other apostles had lived with him, had stayed with him, had been with him, and had heard his teachings. And now the Holy Spirit was in them, filling them up, teaching them, and they were teaching out what God was about. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer." Then it's added in three words, the ninth hour. The ninth hour was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was three times of the day that were hours of prayer. The first one was 9 a.m. in the morning. And that was the third hour. The second hour of prayer was 12 noon. And that was the sixth hour. And this time of the day was in the evening or late afternoon, 3 o'clock, which was the ninth hour. So Peter and John have been busy all day teaching and preaching and sharing the gospel with all the saints. And now they're going up to meet other saints in the temple. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his youth, from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. You don't often think of this, but these lepers, these poor people, these lame people, or blind people, the people asking for alms, took it in turns to sit at certain places at certain times of the day. Because you couldn't sit all day in the heat from 9 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. You'd have to need some movement, some refreshment, and so they would alternate, go around. And this time, Peter and John were going into the temple, and this chap, lame from his mother's womb, was placed at the gate called Beautiful. He was there to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Again, this chap started the day in the normal fashion. This was his job, as it were, to sit there begging for alms. And if you were challenged, you were really encouraged to put your hand in your pocket and put a few mites in the bag. And this chap had asked for alms, and he was fixed on Peter and John. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, I've been laid low a little bit of late. And when I say lay low, I mean no power in the legs. Pain to move the ankles. Pain to move the knees. Pain even to move the elbows. And so I can imagine what it's like sitting there. And somebody turns around and says, rise up and walk. You can't. But Peter is saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what does he do? Peter says, the silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I will give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. So Peter has taken hold of this man and lifted him up. Margaret would tell you that's very hard, because then I'm stuck in a chair and I can't get out. Margaret's there lifting me up. She's a very strong woman. But it's not hard, it's not easy, it's difficult. But we hear in the words, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was very conscious of the feeling in his feet and his ankles. Now, I was walking, and I'd started taking the tablets the other day, and I was walking along the road, and my sandals were very tight on my feet because my feet are very swollen. And as I'm walking along, suddenly, very slowly, my sandals became looser. The tablets had started to work. The swelling had started to go down. It wasn't immediate, but I had to stop and tighten my sandals up. But this man, he's been sitting there all day, waiting, and he's been told to stretch out his hand. He's taken his hand, he's received strength in his legs. So he, unlike me, was leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So he, verse 8, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. That's the first time for this leper, this lame man, because as a lame man, he wouldn't be allowed in the temple. He'd have to be sitting outside all the time, watching the people. He would hear the shouting and the singing and the rejoicing as people prayed, but never been able to be a part of it. And yet today, this day, when he thought he was going to receive some alms, he received strength in his legs and his ankles, able to leap and jump, able to praise God, something that he was capable of doing, and he's doing it. And he's doing it with gusto, with verb, with power, with excitement. This is the first time in his life he's ever stood up. It's the first time in his life he's ever been able to move freely without someone lifting him and putting him in a place. You can imagine how that feels. He's full of the Spirit of God. And how is it? And why is it? Because in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been healed. He's been given power. He's been given strength. Now, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. So he must be making a noise, because they're all going in with him and without around him, and there he is, singing and praising God. He's got hold of Peter and he's got hold of John, not letting them go. He wants more. Now, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was the man who sat begging, asking for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. If we'd known someone for years who was crippled, who was lame, who was unable to do things, and all of a sudden we saw them leaping, walking, praising God, would we not be in awe? Would we not be in wonder what's happened to this man? Yesterday, and I saw him in his wheelchair. He couldn't move. But today, he's running, jumping, leaping. This is wonderful for him. I wonder how it happened. They went in. They were amazed at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people came together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Solomon's porch, we hear in the Gospels that Jesus taught in Solomon's porch, and one of his well-known talks and sermons was the Good Shepherd. When Jesus was in the temple teaching, he taught Solomon's porch, and he talked about the Good Shepherd. Now, because of that Good Shepherd, this man's there, Peter and John are there, all the people have gathered together to them in the porch, and greatly amazed, wondering what's going on. This chap's probably not stopped talking, stopped not singing, stopped not shouting, stopped not praising. We can't shut him up at the moment. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us? As though by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk." Peter is separating himself in that sense from the miracle. He's not turning around and saying, "Jake, John and I have done this wonderful thing, so come and listen. Come together, come and gather." No. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" And here comes the beginning of the sermon for the people. The appeal. "The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." Now we know that this man has been healed in the name of Jesus. And Peter is now saying it's the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Now they're in the temple worshipping God. And whose God are they worshipping? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. So he's identifying with the people coming to worship. And indeed he's now saying that God has glorified his servant Jesus. And this again is to the heart. "Whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate." So some of these people are still there after the Passover. Some of these people must have been in the crowd, because you denied, you delivered up, you gave it this, the servant of God, over, delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate was determined to let Jesus go because he found nothing wrong with him. He found that he was an innocent man, that he was what he said. But the crowds and the priests didn't believe him. We would say that, yes, they knew who he was and that they were scared. They didn't want this man to be their Messiah. They didn't want this Jesus to be their Messiah. So they gave him up. They delivered him and let him go. When Pilate wanted to let him go, they gave him up to be crucified. "But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." You feel like that sometimes? You prefer the sin of life to the glory of God. You'd prefer to live with the sinner than the saint. You gave him up. You gave him away. You gave up the Prince of Life, the Wonderful One, the Saviour of mankind. You gave him up. You gave him up. "But God has glorified his servant, whom you delivered up and denied who he was, denied his rights, denied who he was, and and gave him up to Pilate when he was determined to let him go." the sinner was prepared, the judge was prepared to let him go, the Roman judge, Pilate, but you were determined. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. You determined to have Jesus put to death, and he was put to death, but God raised him from the dead. God stepped in, raised the Holy One, raised the just, granted him life eternal. And we, says Peter, are his witnesses. We know the Easter story where Peter and John ran to the empty tomb. We know that Jesus appeared in the upper room to them all. We know that Peter denied his Christ. And here we're saying he's being used again by God, given another chance to preach the gospel, to testify to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This miracle has nothing to do with me. It's to do with Jesus. Jesus is the one that has done. The one that you wanted to persecute, you wanted away with. You denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This man, you know him, you've seen him, you've walked past him, you've given him alms. You know who he is. And Jesus, in the name, just using the name, what power is in the name, raised him from the dead, has lifted this lame man to walk, talk, jump, and praise God through his name. Yet now, brethren, again, this is another twist in the sermon, another twist to the heart of the listener. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Ignorance. We live in ignorance when we have no knowledge. If we have knowledge of something, we know that this is wrong, we don't do it. If we didn't know it was wrong and we did it, we would be doing it in ignorance. And what Peter is saying here is, you did it in ignorance. You delivered up the Saviour of the world to be crucified in ignorance, because you didn't know the scriptures. You didn't want this type of Messiah. You wanted to be a glorious Messiah coming on horses and chariots and all sorts of things to liberate Israel from the Roman yoke. But that wasn't God's way. God's come to liberate mankind from their sin through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You did it in ignorance, and so did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Again, this is the Christ. Christ would suffer. It's been foretold. He's telling them to look into the scriptures. He's telling them to look again. Christ would suffer. He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Repent, turn around, be changed, converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When I always used to read that, I used to think of a blotting paper. And when I was at school using pen and ink, and I wrote, and I put the blotting pad on, it didn't erase the mistake, but it dried the mistake in. But this blotting is to pull it out, get rid of it totally. It's blotted out. It's not there anymore. Clean sheet. Clean sheet. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that that time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. A time of refreshing. We're in an exciting time. We've seen the Spirit of God. We've seen signs and wonders, and they're all pointing to Jesus. And it's a time of great refreshing, and Peter's honing in on that. It's a time of refreshing. But you can only participate if you are converted, if you're changed, if you turn away from your sin. You must accept, what he's saying here is, you must accept that Jesus Christ is Messiah, is God's chosen one. Repent, therefore, be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached, who was preached to you before. Jesus has been preached before, being preached again, whom heaven must receive, heaven must retain, must have, until the time of restoration, until his return. Of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. These people are hearing something not different. They've probably heard it before, but they're now hearing it in the light of the signs. They're now hearing it in the light of the Holy Spirit's movement amongst them. They're now hearing it with conviction of soul, conviction of heart. They're now hearing it. Verse 22 says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things. Whatever he says, you do. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." There's your choice. There's your choice. Do what you are told by the prophet, or be utterly destroyed. It's a harsh, stark reality. Follow Christ, or total annihilation in hell. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, "And in your seed all the family of the earth shall be blessed." To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away from every one of you from your iniquities. Everyone to turn away from your iniquities. Turn away from the sins you've been doing. Repent. Because Jesus has come, servant of God, is risen. That ends the portion.